Okay, joining us now, the almighty baller himself, Chris Axman.
Hooray! Sir?
Glad you made it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I could make it too. I'm sorry about last week. I'm just a really flaky guy.
that's what Schlenk was saying.
It's I would be better about it, but it's a core part of my personality. So I don't want to go too far from what makes me me. You know,
you gotta stay on brand.
Yeah. I think the Wizards are doing that a lot this year. You know, just making sure that they're very wizardy.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how on brand they are with. Man, that's the first one of the show, right when you come on.
Well, you know, I think last time we talked, it was like, you know, there's one question and one question only, right? Is Bradley Beal and John Wall, are they going to stay healthy and are they going to be able to play all their starters? Because, like, if they do, that's a really good starting lineup. They should make the playoffs. I think that's worked out.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the problem. I mean, the starting lineup's great, but the bench is awful, and we've seen it, especially, I mean, you know, tough to play back-to-back, but as we were saying a moment ago, you know, you have no bench, and, you know, you're playing the Mavericks, who aren't a great team, and you don't have enough steam to get through a whole 48 minutes. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's too bad Jan Mahimi's down, too.
Yeah.
That was going to be important, I thought, because, I mean, I think Trey Burke's bad, don't get me wrong, but I think a really good pick and roll center could make him look less bad. You know what I mean?
That's fair. And, you know, we've said before, like, what they really, you know, they need eight good guys, really. Like, that's, and, you know, if they have Mahimni, then that's six. Oubre is seven. So if they can cobble together one more piece out of what they have, or Ernie Grunfeld is definitely one to make moves at the trade deadline. So that's certainly on the table, but they could get eight pieces together. They're close ish.
So is Kelly Oubre definitely six? Is he, or seven? Is he definitely on that list?
Depends on the day.
I think before he got his concussion, was that a couple weeks ago? I think he had made a pretty solid case. He could knock down a three. He's not going to get lost on defense, but he's not going to, like, kill you on that end. And he's a good rebounder. But he's been just kind of sleepwalking the last few, although he did play well last night. So
yeah,
he's the closest thing to it. If anybody is it, it's him.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere either. They're not going to trade him away or anything like that.
Yeah, I think they have to kind of stick with him. I just don't really see much from him that I'm, like, really excited about. It seems like, you know, if he was, like, an elite scorer, it would be okay that he gives up everything on defense, but he's just, like, pretty good, so pretty okay at best, you know. I don't know. But I don't think you need eight guys, not in the league as it's built right now. I mean, the bottom of the West is really bad, and the bottom of the East is really bad too. I mean, I still think you guys are going to squeak in. I think it'll be fine. I just, you know, it depends on staying healthy, because Bradley Beal is so good. Speaking of Mavs, I'm from Dallas and I want him.
even with the max contract?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I believe in our training staff. We kept Dirk healthy for way too long. I think he might be dead. He might be like a marionette out there. Like, it's like a puppet. Yeah.
Scott Brooks tried to test that theory last night when he went to Marshall Gortat, I think the first four possessions of the game, and he couldn't hit a single shot over him, but I think he's at least propped up right.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, Dirk looks fine. I just think he's dead. Like, but that's what I'm saying with the training staff. Like, whatever black magic the Mavericks are, everyone, like, alive on their team, it's really good black magic. I mean, they have everyone fooled. But Darren Williams died a long time ago. I know that for a fact.
They must be using that guy Cersei uses to keep the mountain running.
Yeah. It's something terrible and evil that I'm sure Mark Cuban, if he was ever approached by, like, Satan or something with a contract and, like, a golden fiddle, It's like, you sell your soul and I'll keep your team healthy. Mark Cuban would be like, no question. He would be all in.
Maybe it happened and we all watched it and it was an episode of Shark Tank. and we just didn't realize it at the time.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I think that Bradley Beal is one of those guys who, if you guys can keep him healthy, he's so good. I really, really like Bradley Beal. If I was the Wizards, I think I would be more prone to moving John Wall than Bradley Beal.
Oof.
I feel like a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of auto trade talk, maybe not serious, but speculative for sure. Brad as well, you know, he gets tossed around in there from time to time. There'll be no trading John Wall. I think that's, although there has been a lot of, you know, I did it again. Against the wall trades, you know, for John, but
I mean, especially considering he's what, the fourth highest paid player on the team now.
John Wall?
Yeah, he's making 16 a year.
Yeah, he would
for
be
the next two seasons.
Such a valuable trade piece because of his contract and the fact that he's the man.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about while I said that, like, that's easy enough for me to say outside of Washington, like, oh, just trade John Wall, no big deal. But I mean, he's legit. I think you guys know though, right? Like, you have three guys. I think Otto Porter's fantastic now, and I had serious doubts about him, but I've seen enough where I really hope that you guys don't let the Nets swoop in and give him $50 million and take him away. I think, you know, you just got to keep trying around Bradley Beal, John Wall, and Otto Porter, and hope that something works out, because I really like the three of those guys.
It's always been the plan. The only guy in DC who wants to trade John Wall is Tony Kornheiser. So you're in good company. Good company. God.
I don't even know what would become of the Zardcast if John Wall got traded.
Disbanded immediately.
I don't know if I could carry on like that.
We would definitely at least have a replacement for you, Dave.
Yeah, I might be out.
So you're saying that Zardcast wouldn't fall apart if you traded Bradley Beal?
No, I think we could get past that. Yeah. We've already been without Bradley Beal for so long, so many times. But it does kind of seem like he's turned the corner with the injuries. You know, he's missed a couple here and there, but it hasn't dragged on like it has in the past. So
he tweaked his ankle and only missed one game.
That's
which
big.
Was nuts.
Yeah, and even that seemed more just precautionary. It wasn't.
And it was against the Nets.
Right. They're like, playing a terrible team. Just let him take it the night off.
Yeah. I really like what I see out of Bradley Beal every time I watch him play. I think the reason why my head tells me, like, okay, go with Bradley Beal instead of John Wall, if you have to choose between the two of those guys, is because you see a lot of the great stuff that John Wall does out of Bradley Beal. It's just not quite that good. But then you see his jump shot sometimes, and it's just lethal. And I just think that works a little bit better in 2017, but still, you know, I think John Wall is just too good to. I was talking about this yesterday on a podcast. Like, Billy King was like the last Lorax on the Nets. The guy who traded all of those draft picks and stuff. Like, he was the last general manager who was willing to just do something really, really dumb and then be crucified in front of the entire league for it. And I don't know, this might not be the case. If there's another one left, it'll be the guy who trades DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Sam Presti, he's lucky he has a career right now because he traded James Harden and that was so dumb. I think probably, you know, the whispers when national pundits like me come onto your show and tell you should trade John Wall, you should probably just not listen to it. It's siren songs.
Well, I think talking about how Bradley Beal's jump shot is such a valuable weapon in today's NBA, I think Wall's distribution and particularly to 3-point shooters is an incredibly valuable weapon that hasn't ever really been unlocked with the team. They haven't had enough shooters around him, and they've tried and they've gotten like bench guys who in theory were supposed to be 3-point shooters for him to kick the ball to, and it's just never really worked. And now he's got Beal and Porter both hitting him, Oubre sometimes. But if you had like a nice stretch four for him, or a big man down low who could shoot from range, he would just be even better.
Yeah, that's an idea. I like how John Wall can finish. He needs like less separation to finish, I think, than most players, because he's so athletic and so, you know, sort of flexible. I think you know, having a big man who can step out just a little bit, like who's that big white oaf you guys have at center?
Jason Smith.
Yeah, right, Jason Smith. Like someone who's in that mold except good, maybe like Miles Turner. That would yep. be such a good fit next to John Wall. Like just someone who has that like 12-14 foot touch.
Yeah. Markieff Morris has been that a little bit, but his 3-point shot has been really underwhelming.
I don't like Markieff. He's not good at basketball.
He's certainly
he's not good at team basketball. He doesn't play team basketball. He plays Markieff ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he does play team ball, he is good. He is really good, actually. But
he's yeah.
It depends on when he wants to do that.
I refuse to believe that he's ever been good. Every time I watch him, it makes me upset.
It's got to be reunited with Marcus.
Yeah. The only way.
Somewhere. The two of them got to get back together and lock rings, and then they can turn into something powerful.
Put their magic pendants together.
Yeah.
Yeah. They meet in like a dark YMCA parking lot somewhere. Do you guys get that?
Nah.
is that a double dragon reference? I don't know.
Oh, no. They beat the crap out of that guy for talking smack about his mom outside of YMCA.
Is that why they did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what the – if that has been resolved yet? Because
– when he came here, it was ongoing.
Yeah, isn't he like
– it was resolved in that parking lot. Flippa. No, I think it's ongoing.
Well, that would really stink if he ends up – I mean, it's like a felony assault charge.
Right. Thankfully, he pinned the weed in the airport on his friend, so no worries there. Legal issues prevented from piling up.
So so much YMCA drama with this team.
Yeah.
Is there more YMCA drama?
Yeah, lay it on him, Schwenk.
Well, Kelly Oubre was working out at a YMCA in Dallas before the game yesterday. And apparently he was, you know, taking up half the court. He was with a trainer and just shooting around. And some guys were trying to play a game. I guess it was lunchtime. And they were yelling at him to get off the court. And he was like, nah, sorry. Nope. But apparently it seemed like he had arranged to be there with the management of the YMCA. There was some petty things written on the internet about it. Overall, non-deal, but just interesting. Little side.
That doesn't sound as bad as like assaulting a guy.
No, definitely not. Just being rude on the court, I guess.
Really? I mean, I think the YMCA is who screwed up. Like,
it
sounds from the guy who wrote the story, the like one player who like broke the story with his essay or whatever. Uh-huh. From the way he told it, it seems like that's a regular everyday lunchtime run, or at least regular to that day of the week. And the management who got the request, hey, can we come take up half the court for an hour or whatever, they're the ones who really bungled it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not as exciting as
can't trust the YMCA.
Yeah, but then he also shouldn't have whooped all their asses afterwards. That was the messed up part, really.
Did he go like Dynasty Warrior on them?
Yeah, just swirling in a circle, just hitting them all at the same time.
I could see Kelly Oubre being like an anime hero, like Naruto or something.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
He's got the hair. I see. Long limbs, perfect for all that.
Yeah, the hair. The hair is what does it, because, you know, the guy with the craziest hair is the most protagonist. Nice. You think like Yu-Gi-Oh, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what's going on with that hair?
Chris, did you make it home for Christmas? We were texting a little bit Christmas Eve, day after. You had some struggles. Did you make it home, and are you fully healed from your adventures?
I'm not quite fully healed. I've been turning the mic off every once in a while to like cough and snort and sniffle and everything. Have you guys caught on to that, or have I done that successfully so far?
We haven't, but don't do that anymore. Our listeners really like that kind of thing. We have a really specific subset of our listeners.
What are those? Aren't there people who like get off to like sounds like that?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I got them in a list. We follow them on Twitter, and that's just the last 3 minutes of the podcast.
Every episode. How do you think I found you guys and added you to the network? Yeah.
So you were sick.
Weird.
You also had your dog KD. More adventures with KD here.
Oh yeah.
Infamously barfed all of your living room, and you ran out of your apartment for many minutes. But now this time, she's just torn your hands up. Is that what I gathered?
Oh God, yeah, man. So basically, I was walking her, and I was really sick, like with the flu and stuff. So, you know, I wasn't super coordinated, and I was walking her like down on the sidewalk, and I let go of her leash, and she just like takes that as the opportunity to run. And again, this her name is KD because it's like Kevin Durant, right? So, you know, like I should have known better from OKC to ever like let her go, you know, like I should have known she was going to run, you know? So she just starts sprinting off. Right. And I, in like my sick haze, start running after her and like land and, just tear up the bottom of my hands landing on the sidewalk. And I still have these, I look like I have the stigmata. You know what that is?
Yeah. Like Jesus.
Right, yeah. I look like I've been, like, crucified. I've got these two big wounds in the bottom of my hands from where, like, I put my hands out to try to stop my fall on the sidewalk. It's pretty terrible. And that was – yeah, that was, like, right before Christmas Eve, too.
Having a rough go of it. But you made it out of town. You made it to Dallas. You saw the family. It's all good there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the only thing I had to sacrifice is coming on Zardcast, and you know, I just don't feel bad about it, CT. You know, if I had to let something slip through the cracks, I'm just joking. I actually do feel really bad about it.
It's all
so
good.
I'm glad I got to come back on.
We made some jokes at the top of the pod at your expense, so I can't wait for you to listen.
But then it was just a real intimate two-hander with CT and I, and we just just the two of us.
Is it like one of those pinata podcasts? You guys just string me up and start whacking.
A lot of innuendos flying around right now. Nope. Just some dandruff jokes, actually.
Oh. Hey.
So Chris, I want to ask you, so we're part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network now. Can you provide some more context? I've tried to do the best that I can over the last few weeks, but I obviously you're the man running the show. So what's going down? What did we get ourselves into, and what should our listeners go out onto the interwebs to find?
Yeah, well, so there's a lot of these super fun podcast networks, and I'm not sure who popularized it, but you know, Almighty Baller is almightyballer.com is where we're hosting ours, Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and you guys specifically are part of the A team. When I first started out, each show I had on the network was sort of covering a different topic, like whether it was, you know, the WNBA or the D League or the NBA. And then, you know, now recently it was actually sort of in response to, you know, the Locked On Podcast Network. I just don't think they're really fun. And I wanted to try to put together like 30 shows, all really good, all covering their NBA team and like all fans. So, you know, if you're a fan, you know about if you like a team enough to start a podcast about them, then you know about them. It's just like, are you boring or not? And I figured that you guys were not boring. So I asked you guys to join, and you did, and that's stellar.
I'm pumped that we're in it. What you just said about if you like a team enough to start a podcast, you probably know enough about them. That's probably true for the most part. I am going to be doing a Washington Valor Arena Football League podcast once their season starts up, and that might disprove your theory. But until then, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, I said probably, you know, like, but it's, you know, all I do is listen to podcasts. So I think CT knows. I pretty much text him after every podcast and say, stop swearing. Like, you're going to get the feds on us. So CT knows that I listen to you guys regularly, and like all of these shows, like I have endorsed because I guess you're right. Like, you can just, anyone can go out and start a podcast, but you need to be super special if you want to be on a network and, you know, play with the big boys.
I suppose that's where we're at, because also as of now, we've been doing the ad inserts, but that's me shuffling my papers. We have live reads now.
Yeah,
I figured you could help us out. We've got another one a little bit later planned for, we'll plug it right now, the Draft Daily Fantasy app. But the other sponsor, Handy. Do you want to walk us through that one and tell us what Handy's about? Tell the fine listeners out there. I didn't mark the sheet, guys.
Yeah. So Handy.com and the Handy app is, it's like an app for handymen or house cleaners or movers or electricians or plumbers or really anything. They have, you know, this their own network, except it's not a network of podcasters. It's a network of handymen in different fields, and basically you go on the app, you like put in what type of service you need, where your apartment is, and you know, they have ratings and selections of, like, you know, here's our best plumber in the area and our best electrician and, you know, our best movers. And, you know, say you want someone to like help build your IKEA sofa or something like that, they can help out with that. So, yeah, you can do that from handy.com, or you can do it from the Handy iPhone smartphone app, or Androids on the Android market. And get 15% off by using the promo code Almighty15.
Stellar. So, for example, Dave, say you had a rodent underneath your floor.
Say that happened.
Handy might be a good application to bring up and be like, pest control, exterminator, someone who's going to tear up my floors and dig out a dead rat. They might do that for you. Well, good times. What's that code again to get 15% off?
So it's Almighty 15, Almighty 15. And I actually just moved, and they saved my butt more than once, because I hate building furniture, and I hate moving stuff. And I had to keep track of my butthole dog, who's willing to move at any point and would probably die if a sofa landed on her. So I could personally say that Handy is great and you should use them so your dog doesn't die during a moving process.
That is quite the selling point. Chris, do you have any parting shots, anything you want to leave us before we let you go?
You guys have dandruff and
That's true. I do have dandruff, so
I get beard dandruff sometimes. You guys ever get that?
Yeah, for sure.
That's super annoying.
I just shaved my beard and I had a lot of it going on. Yeah. Really get into my moisturizer.
Yes. Okay. Well, good time. I didn't mean to be so dismissive. I was just visualize it for a second.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Chris Axman, almightyballer.com. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that's me. Ding, at Almighty Pollen. Follow me on Twitter.
There he goes, Chris Axman, almightyballer.com, as he delineated there.
Twink, I can't believe you brought up that dead mouse under my floor.
And with company on the line.